Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. This week brought to you by another sport. Other sports. Have you thought about other sports? Because this is the internet's only college football podcast, but I'm just saying you might want to think about other sports. You might want to think about other things to do on a Saturday or Sunday.
You know it's a socially distant sport? Assault from American Gladiators.
You know
that's
what?
That's the one where you go from station to station trying to get Nitro, and Nitro shooting tennis balls at you.
Yeah.
I'm really curious that you stopped on from American Gladiators. I thought you were just going to cut it right there. It's like, Ryan, I've never felt so close to you.
The crime of assault is actually not very socially distant, but Assault the American Gladiators event, totally safe.
Assault with a proximity weapon.
Basic. Like, I think that should be an acceptable form of political protest. I think if, like, your mayor or your governor gives a speech, one member of the opposition should get a tennis ball cannon. And the in the same manner, like, the governor gets to, you know, go between obstacles trying to give his or her speech at the same time. But, like, there's, like, the minority leader just trying to tag his ass with tennis balls. This is, I guess what I'm saying is this is how we make C-SPAN appointment television.
Though I always thought C-SPAN always needed combat sports.
Yeah.
That's what really. The C's for.
Exactly. See?
Dana Close White's quarter sport. Span.
Just Dana White investing in it. Like, I'm going to make C-SPAN for dudes, for real men. Mm-hmm. Real men who just want to see a face full of fist in the middle of the Library of Congress.
I got your cloture, rear naked cloture.
What does the C-SPAN acronym stand for in this context? Go.
I mean, would a call-in show be much better if, like, MMA fighters were just calling in and being like, bro, I know you're on the gas.
So instead of Fight Island, we got Fight Court.
Doom, 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 doom.
Fight Court.
Fight Court with Harry Anderson. Yeah. Did anything change today, Jason?
I mean, technically, on paper, there's not going to be college football in 2020. This is a thing we've known for months because the people in charge of college football have been the people in charge of college football for months, and the people in charge of college football are not actually in charge of college football. The Big Ten and Pac-12 officially bowed out, and a bunch of other conferences are going to wait and see if they're going to... they will. We already knew there wasn't going to be college football this fall. That's sad. That's very sad. But it's also the thing that we already knew. So hopefully we've made our peace with it. Have we made our peace with it? I haven't yet, but how are we feeling?
I'm doing that thing where I wait to make my peace with it until, like, right now it's, you know, August 11th. So it's not like I was gearing up to watch anything on Saturday, football on Saturday anyway. Once we get to, like, mid-September, then we'll see where I'm at. Then we'll see how broken I am.
Probably once we get broken. To, like, you're like, oh, damn it, we're missing the week 3 games.
Oh, I should be watching Florida struggle to beat Kentucky right now. Curse my luck.
Yeah, once we're really in the doldrums, like, once we're in, like, oh, it's the first week of conference games.
I will say that I find the easiest way to sort of, like, ease my frustration is to think about the games that I don't have, that I won't see now. Like, I don't want to watch a Florida-Kentucky game. Mm-hmm. I would have watched it, but now I don't have to. And that's, like, a little bit of freedom for me, from me.
Yeah. So you can sort of tell yourself, it's all Florida, Kentucky.
Yeah. It's sort of like Christmas is canceled, but I get to say, like, well, hey, that's less waste for the environment.
I don't have to go to mass. Right?
Yeah, exactly. I don't have to put pants on.
Yeah, I don't have to wear a really hot sweater that I only wear once a year.
Yep.
And go sit in a church listening to somebody postpone me getting all the cool toys I'm going to get.
Right.
Right. Except I'm not getting the toys.
There's no toys.
You're just by yourself forever. Oh, wait. Yeah. I'm sad again. Shit.
Well. But. So, like, have we got a fun game to play?
Can I offer one bit of uplifting news before we jump into the game?
Is sure. it from the books about hell that you're reading?
It is not, because those books haven't arrived.
Wait, what?
Yet. I am, for my own reasons, I purchased three different books about the history of human understanding of the afterlife. I haven't gotten them yet. I haven't read any of them yet.
Okay, so we're going to talk after the show.
You know, based entirely on interstate billboards, if Michigan is the university of the war dad, Florida is the university of the hell dad.
The hell dad.
Hell yeah. dad. If one day you're a hell boy, and then you look up and you're a hell man. And then,
oh, this body, what happened to it? I'm a hell dad.
I very much want to know which state has the most hell billboards per capita. Like
it's
Kentucky.
Florida.
Kentucky is fucking bringing it. Florida's got a lot of people, man. Indiana goes hard. Florida's got a lot of people.
Florida's got a lot of miles of interstate that run the length of it, and all those are filled with hell billboards.
Yeah, but Tennessee and Kentucky have billboards that go the width of them.
Can we draw a line between, are you talking about billboards that are like warning, the path to hell lies this way? Because I don't think Florida has a lot of those. I think
Florida,
if you're like,
those...
hell beast, the lawnmower you've got to have to ruin your neighbor's life.
Florida has that one weird series on 75, like, it actually begins a little bit above the state line, I think, like, in Valdosta, that my mother looked up on a road trip because she couldn't resist finding out who the Antichrist is, as teased by these billboards, and it turns out this website asserts that it's Prince William.
Wow.
So that's fun.
That's hot. At least you're bringing a new take.
Yeah.
All right, here's my good news of the week. GNC has Girl Scout protein powder. Girl
Bro.
Scout branded what? Flavored protein powder. They come in
wow.
three flavors. And my task for you, gentle friends, is I want you to tell me what you think the three flavors of girl, like, this is not like, oh, it's sort of like vaguely Girl Scout-y. It's like, it says on the package, Girl Scouts of America. It has the logo. It has pictures
of the
cookies.
Are they the flavors of actual cookies? Like, is there Thin Mint protein powder?
Holly, you have identified one of the flavors of GNC Girl Scout
okay,
whey
so
protein powder.
Okay, so they're actual cookie names.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's one.
I will say this. You have to work with a good protein powder. You're going to have to work against that flavor. So certain things are going to work better than others when it comes to covering up that, you know, extremely
chalky,
basic kind
yeah.
of... Yeah, flavor
yeah,
that
yeah.
whey protein powder tends
Thin
to have.
Mints is one. Can you collectively name the other two?
Is there a Samoa one in there?
There is. It's called coconut caramel, but it is indeed.
You know why they call it coconut caramel? Because they're worried that lifters are too dumb to know what Samoa is.
Correct. And they'll think it's made out of actual Samoans, which is not true.
No, but they'd be like,
wait,
dude, those guys
know?
Got mass.
Yeah, I think it's like, no, we'll be swole like The Rock.
Yeah, we'll be giant. We'll be huge, like all those linemen, bro.
They might associate it with Roman Reigns and be like, oh, I'm so sick of this protein powder being pushed on us.
I'm happy to report that this product has 408 reviews. So,
that'd
all right.
412. Ryan, peanut butter? Are we working with peanut butter here?
There is not a peanut butter flavor here. That's a good guess.
God.
You could have gone Do-Si-Do. I forget what the other one is.
Tag-along.
Yes, you could have gone tag-along. No. I don't think you're going to get the third one, I'm going to be honest.
Is it broccoli?
Hang on, Girl Scout here. Is
Egg?
It the lemon cream?
No, that's a good guess.
That was going to be my guess, is that they were the lemon culotta.
The answer is s'mores.
Huh. Well,
that's not a Girl Scout cookie.
I understand that, but it is listed as a Girl Scout flavor, so I don't know if it's like a recent...
Ryan, have you combed the reviews to see how many people are mortally offended that this is not a Girl Scout cookie flavor besides me?
This is okay, so here's the thing. This is a Girl Scout cookie flavor. It's just a relatively recent one.
What?
I'm looking at it right
Whoa.
Now. Yeah. There are
so
two.
I,
yeah.
Well, I was thinking because, like, are they taking Scout literally? You make a s'more on a camping trip. But this is an official canon
no.
cookie?
Yes. Yes, this is a
wow.
this is a
Jason, what's that Bible word, apostasy?
Yes.
Yeah.
That.
This is kind of a Keebler-y looking cookie that has like it's a sandwich cookie with chocolate and what they call marshmallowy filling, which feels like it does not have any actual.
I don't really appreciate when you put a modifier on marshmallowy, because that's already a substance that's very vague in terms of what I think. Right. I mean, honestly, ask most people, you know, like when you ask most people, why is the sky blue? Yep. You're going to get a lot of wrong answers.
Sure.
Ask most people what a marshmallow actually is, and they will have no clue. So I don't think you need to take an already vaguely understood product and put a modifier on it.
The other day when the dude from the Pentagon or whatever was like, yeah, there's some shit in Area 51 that didn't come from Earth. He was talking about marshmallows, you know? So like now we're taking it another level beyond that.
Can I do a hand? Can I do a proud IMG product hand in the dirt crossover moment?
Ooh,
did y'all
dude.
Know there's a marshmallow plant that has nothing to do with marshmallows?
What is it?
It's an herb.
It's an herb called the marshmallow plant.
It's an herb called marshmallow. Like, that's its name, like marshmallow, like rakes of mallow.
What?
Oh, so this is like being named Hamilton Burger, and your name being Hamburger, but you're not Hamburger. Got it.
Does it grow in marshes?
One assumes. I frankly lost interest when I discovered that it had nothing to do with marshmallows, go vols.
That it doesn't actually, like, grow marshmallows.
Yeah, I did have a moment when I was like, hey, yo!
So anyway, if you want to purchase a Girl Scout cookie-flavored whey protein, GNC got you covered. I don't know what the cut is that the Girl Scouts are getting here, but I hope it's good.
I like the idea, though, that somebody passing that is like, you know, I did want a protein powder that tasted more like candy and a cookie than, you know, just regular old powder. Because, you know,
hey, maybe you want whey protein that teaches young girls to believe in themselves and develop life skills.
That would be like standing outside. What store do you, as a Girl Scout, stand outside selling Girl Scout protein powder? Do you do that outside of family court? You look like the daughter I can't see. Go Bucks. Don't take any cases.
My daughter said I'm not strong enough.
That's a great note to come back on.
We'll go ahead and just assume it's that. Okay. That's the most heartwarming alternative for me.
Yep.
You know, do you do that at a gym? I think, you know, you do that at what gym?
It's a little on the nose. I think it's more of a water park thing.
What? Yeah, so because everyone's feeling insecure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They just took their shirts off and they're like, I saw this other guy. He's ripped as hell.
To be clear, Jason, I see what you're saying, but this time you got to be positioned at the exit, not the entrance. So you're getting people on the way out.
Well, actually what I was going to say is, could you just dump it into the lazy river and then you float and you're soaking in all the protein?
Oh, transdermal protein administration.
I'm fucking yoked off the float workout.
Yeah, what bro. I do. Yeah. I just listen. I do three sets of
three sets of 45 minute laps.
Yeah, and
X-Men Tales of Weird Uncle.
then I fucking flip over, you know, to work my pecs.
I'm just yoked. It's sick. It's sick. I haven't felt like this since, like, remember when we went to Ultra in 2011 and I didn't eat for like 4 weeks and I was shredded. Yeah, like I look like that.
Why are you picking me here? I went to Ultra.
You know the guy.
I do. He had a Gators hat on.
Yes, he did.
I'm going to post a picture of this guy with the show notes, which is a thing we say we're going to do, but never do.
It's important to lie.
Lying is key to everything. For instance, you can say, "Hey, we're just pushing the college football season back."
You know who doesn't? You know who doesn't lie though? Home field apparel.
Yeah. Oh! That's a segue.
Mm-hmm. Home field apparel. Offers you a promise, and that promise is comfortable, great looking, awesome, collegiate, casual wear. Shirts, sweatshirts, tank tops. They have sweatpants as well, but I don't think they've made the sweatpants Holly has proposed so far.
No, but I only propose sweatpants because they have tank tops.
Here is how well the first home field read on the relaunch Shutdown Fullcast did so well that Home Field Apparel is now hiring. They've done too much business. That is the power of two things: this Unkillable Stupid podcast and Pitt Football, the two most important things in industry.
Podcast business, too much business, Indiana.
Podcast pitness?
Fine.
Is that a thing?
Spencer, hey, Spencer, should we move to Indianapolis and make t-shirts?
I got nothing else to do. Yeah. Why don't we do that? My schedule's done. We wrote a book, so what else do we do in life?
Yeah, time to make shirts.
You raise a cool $100,000 for charity in something like 24 hours. That was something you did.
There's that too.
Yeah, we got other podcast business to cover. But yeah, home field now on the backs of the mightiest brands in college football has made both and themselves more powerful in the course of merely touching them with their sainted hands.
You use offer code FULLCAST, you get 20% off. Here is a true tale of home field success from my own home. They recently, maybe like a month ago, they had Hawaii that was part of their big new Saturday lineup. And I said, I'm going to order a Hawaii Rainbow Warriors hoodie. It's not hoodie season, but I like it and I want to have it in my house so that when hoodie season arrives, I don't have to say, oh, damn it, why didn't I? Despite it being August, my wife has already stolen this sweatshirt from me. That's how comfortable it is. That's how excellent it is. And I think, I don't know if we're allowed to say this part, but they basically have said that Virginia Tech is the next school that is coming up this weekend. So
we can confirm it is a maroon and orange turkey themed school.
Home field did not like it when I said that the turkey claw looked like a really poorly drawn Arizona State pitchfork. So it's not that. I can tell you that.
Turkey of the damned.
Turkey of the damned.
Ryan, I think Spencer and I, as home field employees, we would like you to cease and desist from further divulging internal company information.
I apologize.
Hey, you don't have to go to that warehouse tomorrow. We do. We have
I'm
to look
sorry,
them in
man.
The eye.
You're right. You're right.
Just another day at the shirt factory.
Man, I hope they hear this before you guys show up.
Honestly, man, Jason, and I'm talking to you and only you right now for these people who got jobs. I mean, this doesn't sound too bad, right? Hanging out at the warehouse with the guys, pressing some shirts.
Yeah, sounds great. Yeah. Just clocking in with the fellas.
Yeah. Listening to some, you know, new metal on the warehouse radio.
Now, you both have warehouse adjacent experience, right?
We do.
Sure.
In your past jobs.
So yeah, I'll move. I'll carry boxes.
About clocking in with the guys, you know, you speak from experience.
Sure.
I just want to make I just want to make sure everybody knows we're not looking down on warehouse workers. We have many former movers and stackers of boxes.
No, man. I'm pretty much being serious here. Like we might be right there, just full casting from the warehouse.
far from looking down on it. Homefield is hiring, and a lot of digital media outlets are not.
Yeah. Maybe we delay this episode's release by a day or two to give us time to get to Indianapolis so that we can apply.
Oh, I thought you were going to say to see if Ryan and I get fired too, so we can come.
Indiana. Well,
what?
Indiana. It's the new Riviera. Let's go.
Look, last week I was afraid I may have accidentally spoken my dad's death into existence. This is nothing.
Homefield started as an apparel company, and now it's a halfway house for bloggers. And that's not entirely a lie, now that I think about it.
Halfway to respectful, baby.
Mathematically, this podcast is also a halfway house for bloggers at this point.
Yeah, but going the other way.
Yeah.
A shirt is a halfway house for your body.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
As
before
are
it,
pants.
Before it can be released back into society. Spencer, what's the other bit of podcast business you got?
Yeah, we've got two other bits of podcast business.
Two.
Yeah, what first.
God damn, I thought you said you don't have a job.
Son, I got no job, but plenty of hustles. I got plenty
That's
of
right.
hustles. I got
That's
front
right.
hustles. I got side hustles. Got a little back hustle, if you know what I mean.
Oh, God.
God.
Yeah.
Spencer, you cannot announce your OnlyFans on this show. I will leave.
Just happened.
God damn it.
Brian, what kind of threat is that? He's trying to make money here.
Don't knock the grind.
All right. Please don't say grind.
Yeah, two other bits. We've got, first of all, still for sale for in perpetuity, if you will. From now until the end of time, you could purchase the Sinful 7, available at sinful7.com. The five-way work of genius by myself, Jason Kirk, Alex Kirshner, Richard Johnson, and illustrator Tyson Whiting. Shouts out to Tyson Whiting because he did just amazing work on this thing. He and the rest of us put together this lovely book about the NCAA, the sham of amateurism, how it happened. Also, maybe, you know, a couple hundred pages of an Old West allegory going on. So it's the only book I know of that will explain to you how we got to this insane point of amateurism still being a thing in 2020. And also will give you, you know, a book about a train robbery and killing a governor.
Yeah, I keep finding myself wanting to describe this book as awkwardly timely, like too timely.
A little uncomfortable at times.
And there's a train robbery.
Yeah, and there's a train robbery, and not one, but two Western anthems.
Why did we stop robbing trains?
Some of us never did. Wow. We just don't talk about it.
That's now you sound like Sam Shepard or somebody doing a truck commercial.
Ryan, again, Spencer and I are unemployed. Maybe that's why you stopped robbing trains.
Yeah.
Ryan's got a point though. If you're running a busy law enforcement department and you get a call that someone's robbing a train, do you hang up?
Yeah, you're gonna let that go.
Yeah. You're like, well, that's not like, my. That's by the time I get there, it's not my jurisdiction.
You're just gonna
laugh
and be like, "How quaint."
Yep.
I'm gonna let the Interstate Commerce Act handle that for me.
Maybe the key to getting away with a crime spree is to make sure that it's antiquated retro crimes.
Yeah.
And nothing but antiquated retro crimes. Train robbery.
You were gonna say commit the crimes on the state line, which is why the city of Jacksonville exists.
Impersonating a Kentucky colonel.
No, that's serious. They will get you for that.
Robbing a steamboat.
That's fine.
Apothecary fraud.
You, sir, sold me a fraudulent tincture. Yeah. I think you could. I think,
and
by the way.
To GNC.
Yeah, and I was going to say, apothecary fraud is a great business that maybe Jason and I are getting into as early as next week.
Home field apparel. We will be running an apothecary out of your warehouse very soon.
What is this tonic I got with my sweatshirt? Is this like those Chinese seeds? Ah, screw it. I'll drink it.
First of all,
okay, we're planting Ryan, those, right?
Ryan, please expand on the Chinese seeds. And
on
then,
the seeds?
Yeah. What for those who don't know, and then I'm going to add in the uniquely SEC part of this entire story.
All right, so I'm going to probably butcher this, but people across the United States, I believe, I almost said the United Nations, which is good too.
Several states.
Have been getting mystery seeds mailed to their house. Seeds that they did not order, at least that they don't remember ordering, and that are not, I believe, are unmarked. It doesn't say it's like, oh, here's, you know, grow zinnias or some shit. And most people have been reporting to, like, the USDA, like, hey, I got these seeds, or they've, like, you know, said, like, this seems weird.
I'm surprised
weird.
That many people knew how to contact the USDA.
I suspect probably, like, once the first few people did, that hopefully that was an early Google result for mystery seeds, China. The seeds come from China. I don't remember if I said that part. There's right here now, it's even evolved. There's a story from North Carolina, McDowell County, where a resident received two suspicious packages of seeds from China, and one of them also had SIM cards in it.
Hmm.
So,
in case the plant wanted to call home.
Yeah. It's now, like, I think the relevant authorities think that it's some sort of international internet scam. I'm not sure how this scam works. I'm not sure how you send people mystery seeds and you end up getting their personal information or money. But that's not important because Spencer, who planted the seeds?
Okay, so who gets mystery alien seeds from China? People in Arkansas. Specifically, Boonville resident Doyle Crenshaw. I'm just going to say his name again. Doyle Crenshaw from Boonville, Arkansas.
Patron Saint Doyle Crenshaw. That is an Arkansas name.
Let me go ahead and say this, that Doyle Crenshaw received these seeds in the mail, and despite the USDA telling people not to plant them, in fact, maybe because the USDA told him not to plant them, Boonville resident Doyle Crenshaw, he put those suckers in the ground. But no, Doyle didn't just put them in the ground. I'm going to read you this quote. "We brought them down here and planted the seeds just to see what would happen. Every 2 weeks, I'd come by and put Miracle-Gro on it, and they just started growing like crazy."
Look, if you're gonna grow carnivorous plants that take over America and kill us all, just like there's no sense like slowing it down. Go ahead and speed it up and get it over with.
Yep.
Doyle Crenshaw, diagnosed with cancer, took up a 4-pack-a-day smoking habit because, I don't know, let's see how big these things get. I don't want to make it out of this.
Hold on. Feed the beast.
Here's an important quote from Mr. Crenshaw. "The package said it was from China, and it said studded earrings on the outside, and we thought that was a little odd."
That was my first sign that something here was amiss. So what I did was I took it out.
Darling, we got an earring plant right here.
They said there's earrings in here. Yeah, right. I'm going to pour chemicals on it. Fucking USDA, tell me I can't pour chemicals on an earring.
Before you know it, I got a whole jewelry harvest coming in. Bumper crop.
So several folks online have pointed out the difference or the similarities between this story and the last news story that we loved this much, which was a couple years ago when they dug up that heretofore unexplored tomb was a sarcophagus full of mysterious red liquid inside.
Yeah.
And two things happened. The first thing that happened was the BBC interviewed this guy whose name I wish I could recall since he is clearly responsible for all of the ills.
That was Doyle Crenshaw.
It might have been Viscount Doyle Crenshaw, because he said something that would be too obvious to put in the opening act of a mummy flick. He said, "You know, I wish people would quit talking about curses. You know, I opened the coffin up and stuck my head inside, and I'm fine." The second thing that happened was that people in Britain, which, lest we forget, Alabama or England is not a joke, people in Britain immediately began circulating a petition to allow them to drink the liquid from the dark sarcophagus.
Holly, this man's name, man's name is Mustafa Waziri, and his quote was, "We've opened it, and thank God the world has not fallen into darkness. Way to jinx it, Mustafa."
Yeah, no, when no, was no. It, I'm talking when was about this? A completely different guy. Hang on, let me find
No, quote. No, because he has one more quote. This is July 20th, 2018. And then he goes on to say, "I was the first to put my whole head inside the sarcophagus, and here I stand before you. I am fine."
Yeah, everything's been great since 2018.
Thanks.
Good job, Mustafa. Yeah, this is Arkansas, by the way. It's Arkansas, who, you know, in any plague movie, you know, don't drink that. Drinking it.
Also, I'm going to derail this for just a second, because while we're talking about sarcophagi and whatnot and having good mummy jokes, do you know how mad I'm going to be if I finally get to be dead and somebody is digging my ass up out of the ground?
It's pretty bad. Yeah, it's not ideal.
Like,
you're like,
I just want to, I don't know how this not came. Ideal. Like a lot of many most bad things in the world, this did come from England. I don't know how this became a hobby of people to dig up dead people and like adorn their drawing rooms with their stuff. Y'all better make sure I'm real dead. when you put me down there, because if I hear so much as a peep.
I like the idea of, like, 100 years from now, somebody's trying to exhume Holly, and they hear, like, hey, I've still got red liquid in here I'm drinking. Go the fuck away.
Are mummies the eternal nap dad?
Wow.
I mean, what describes a nap house better?
Bury me with my stuff.
What is a coffin but a eco-friendly nap house?
It's kind of a combination garage nap house.
Yeah, when you think, because you do get your stuff. You get your most important stuff in there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Except you get buried with your subordinates. And
God, if only.
Oh, man, listen. I've worked with some really good people. I don't want to be buried with y'all. I don't want to, you know.
Alex Kirshner, too chatty.
Hey, Home Field Apparel, we're going to come up there. We're going to start an apothecary in your warehouse. And then we will be buried inside of it with you.
I'm sorting through this and I'm discarding all of you. Alex is too chatty to be buried with. Richard Johnson is too handsome and many people will come.
Godfrey takes up too much space.
Yeah, God, Godfrey would just complain non-fucking
stop. All elbows.
He's not complaining when he's talking. It just sounds like he's complaining.
So when
Floyd would be fine. I could be buried with Floyd.
When they opened up King Tut's tomb, among other people.
College football.
Carter and others.
Really, of all people.
I know.
Carter and others sampled the 2,000, 3,000 year old jar of honey that was in there, which, you know, there's some sound science behind doing that.
Honey is one of the most resilient foodstuffs.
Right.
But not 3,000 years resilient.
No, they just went ahead and did it, man. They went for it. They're like, yeah, let's go for it. Now, I thought this was rare, but the Cousteau crew unearthed a fully intact, like, urn full of wine.
Ah, look.
That was sealed.
A sarcophagi full of McDoubles.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that in my lifetime, I do not ever wish to consume anything that came out of an urn.
Coward.
Sorry to be controversial.
I'm just saying, listen, if there were... you know, Southern mummies be like, hey man, they haven't opened up this can of wintergreen Kodiak. You want to try it? It's probably still good.
There's probably an LSU tailgate where you can get like mac and cheese out of an urn, right?
I'm sorry. I got distracted thinking about a mummy named M. Skoltek.
M. Skoltek.
I am going to try to find
the G.I. Joe book and record with the Cockney mummy.
All right, now we have to do the third piece of podcast business we'll never get.
It's true.
I'm coming back to this.
So the third piece of podcast business, and really like the most fun we have all year, I think. I speak for me.
Which is a real low bar in 2020.
A real low bar. But
it's fun for Spencer. Let's not say we.
Okay. It's really fun for me. That would be the EDSBS Charity Bowl. The EDSBS Charity Bowl, where we raise money for Refugee Service Organization, New American Pathways. We've been doing this for about a decade now. And so far, through 2 days, we've raised over $100,000. I can say that. It ain't fiction. We did that. Y'all did that.
Hang on. I can actually check the page right now.
Guess, yeah, we can get a very specific quote here.
It is Tuesday night at 10:19 Eastern time. We reset our original $100,000 goal at like noon when it became clear we were going to smash it. Yeah, $104,045.
Nice.
Yeah. So perhaps you think, oh man, that's cool. They made their goal. No, we didn't.
No, we didn't, suckers. We moved the goalposts.
We had to reset it because we thought, oh, man, maybe we'll just get the 8 seed in the playoffs. Turns out we got the 1 seed.
Because we're internet people and we're going to move the goalposts on you.
That's right. And we're going to do it far, way out there, 175,000. That's the goal now.
Can we give them like a top 5, top 10 schools as of the moment?
Oh, yes, I can. Hang on. As of 5 p.m. Eastern. Actually, why don't I go through and give, sorry, the entire rig that my microphone is on just collapsed. Why don't I go through and give a couple of quick notes? The top 5 schools are in order. Georgia Tech at 1, Michigan at 2, separated by $47, I want to say, 47 and change. This is the closest they've ever been.
Cash war.
I will say that we had a monster Michigan donation, a single donation come in after we stopped counting. So the money cannon should be out in front tomorrow. Georgia is third, which is also astonishing. Colorado State at four. And Alabama at five, which is also surprising. One of the best things about the charity bowl the past couple years is, brace yourselves, the SEC didn't really used to be all that into the charity bowl. We didn't used to hear from them a lot. But Georgia Tech fans eventually drew in the Georgia fans who kind of drew in other SEC fans. And then, of course, Georgia blows a lead. Texas A&M is six. Florida is seven. LSU is eight. Virginia Tech is 9. Texas Tech is 10. For those of you asking, Texas is 19. Let's see. Washington and Lee and Washington University of St. Louis are in the top 15. Let's talk about teams that are not anywhere near that. Clemson, 63rd. Duke, 58th.
Ugh!
Those are still behind Nebraska at 53rd.
Well, hey, listen, Nebraska fans are saving their money for football tickets.
Yeah, there's no telling. There's no telling where they might be playing, so they gotta count these pennies.
We're saving up for flights to Boston College.
We're playing on Flight Island.
Let's play a game. I'm gonna give you five schools, and you tell me which of these schools is not ahead of Ole Miss in the Charity Bowl at the end of day two.
Which one of these schools is not ahead?
Is not. You ready?
Okay, yeah.
Middle Tennessee State
is ahead.
I'm going to give you five and then you got to pick one.
Sorry.
Middle Tennessee State, the South Africa Springboks, West Ham United, Western Michigan, and the Vermont Institute of Natural Science.
So four of these are ahead and one is behind.
Pick. Can I go with Vermont?
Okay, Jason says Vermont.
I'll say MTSU then.
Spencer?
I'm going to go with the Springboks.
That's a trick question. All five of these schools are wow. ahead of Ole Miss. In addition to West Ham United, California University of Pennsylvania, Northern Illinois, Western Kentucky, New Hampshire, Alaska Anchorage, the Citadel, and Ireland Rugby, and also one guy who just donated to Canada. Jason, Vacation Bible School currently trails Ole Miss by 7 cents.
Oh, it's fucking on. That's it. That's it. I'm taking down the Rebels.
Both of you are ahead of Cal Lutheran, as you should be.
That's good.
Okay. The Lutherans are folded into VBS, along with various others. This means Kennesaw State is demolishing Ole Miss at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Kennesaw, thanks to Jason, you were not the only Kennesaw State donor this year. Kennesaw State is all the way up at 66. Oh, my God. I just saw something I did. This is not a bit. I just saw something I hadn't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really weird day on the leaderboard because we had a lot of rival schools that ended up directly one atop another in the standings. Like West Virginia and Pitt were right on top of each other. A couple other schools. Kennesaw State is directly beneath Georgia State.
Oh, fuck. It's wow. on. Wow. Double on.
Oh, wow.
By like it's like $103 difference.
Harry Lyles. Calling you out, brother.
Harry Lyles. Come get this.
Do you hear me, Ludacris?
You are both, however, ahead
Robbie
of
Calland, I'm calling you out, brother.
I will say that both Kennesaw State, this is the best part of the Charity Bowl, which is just listing these schools, these big-ass schools with big-ass budgets that y'all are beating up on. Kennesaw State and Georgia State are both ahead of Vanderbilt, Arizona State, South Carolina, Kansas State, Stanford, and Washington State.
Stanford fans don't have money. They just have stock. It's different.
Yeah, apparently.
We're not very liquid.
Yeah, they got to cash out their fucking $8 trillion endowment to donate $100 to charity.
And in all seriousness, for 1 second, I'm not denigrating anybody's tiny donation. This bowl means a lot every year. It has meant more for terrible reasons every year for the past, 5 years. And this year it really means a lot because we know a lot of folks are out of work. We know a lot of folks are struggling, and we are still smashing these donation records, and we cannot thank you guys enough.
Yeah. So if you would like to join the throng of people donating to the EDSBS Charity Bowl and to New American Pathways, please, we got the dang URL. There's a whole site and everything. You can just go to EDSBSCharityBowl.com is one way you can donate. Just go there. Hit
Are
the
you
big
sure?
button. Says,
do it right now.
Yeah. EDSBS
do
Charity
Bowl. Do
it right
Bowl. Now while I tell you that Tuskegee is currently doubling up Harvard Law in the donations.
Yeah. That would be EDSBSCharityBowl.com.
Yeah. He's right. It works.
I am right. Okay. I even tested it. And
just
if,
checking.
And if you are more into brevity, more into the SMS route of doing
then
this,
you
yeah.
Then you're not listening this deep into a Fullcast episode.
No, no. And if you are, you're like driving and tweeting about the episode at the same time while smoking and maybe yelling at your kids. Yeah.
I think like you're driving and the entire dash console on your car is broken.
So nice. Weird. I just stole a bunch of Girl Scout protein powder. You
oh,
guys
God,
are talking
which,
about it.
I knew the other thing I wanted to say. For some reason, we cannot correct this in the database, and we've tried to fix it like 3 times, and it won't work. Rutgers keeps showing up in the database in all caps, and no one knows how to fix it.
Rutgers! Don't. That's why.
There.
Rutgers keeps showing up, and no one knows how to fix it.
So let's play our game that somebody invented. I forget. It, not me. Somebody not me invented.
Wasn't me.
So we are... What are we, 40 minutes in, and it's time to begin the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing as there will not be college football this fall or spring, why would there be college football in the spring? There's no college football in the spring. There wasn't, like...
You said there will be no spring, which, yeah, maybe.
There's not going to be a spring. That Michigan played spring college football in, like, 1890 or 1900-something. They played one game in either March or May. No one agrees on whether it was March or May. In lieu of that... Ryan, did I use that legal term correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So we have decided to let's pretend there will be one glorious weekend of college football. We will preserve just a handful of games, whether they're on the schedule or not, who cares? We're going to shepherd these games into one little safe, secure bubble of a weekend. Where three of us are going to, Spencer, Ryan, and I are going to draft games that we would most like to preserve or schedule, and then Holly will slot them in times and channels throughout this weekend accordingly.
I'm a media executive.
Yep. And congratulations, you're already like a top 2 or 3 media executive.
For men.
For men.
Jason, oh, because Jason, because this was your idea, I think you should get first pick.
All right. I'm taking the Celebration Bowl first. We're going to make sure there's some FCS in this lineup. We're going to make sure there's some HBCU in this lineup. Also, this game rules. If you've never been to it, music is awesome, of course. It's the HBCU National Championship, but there's also kind of a family reunion atmosphere. It's very fun. Like, I feel like it is the... If attending a sporting event can give you sort of a healing feeling, I think this is the one that would most do it. In the year 2020, this is the single game I think I would most like to attend and see right now. So let's make sure it's on the list.
Good pick. Spencer, what is your first pick?
Yeah, that's a very, very positive pick. A lot of like good energy around that.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Oh, boy, Dad's home.
Yeah, like I don't know. That would make you feel really good. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes there are games that are just a grim reminder of life.
You say Illinois, I swear to God.
Of life's endless struggle. Against entropy and scarcity. So, Iowa, Michigan State, come on down.
Boy, oh God. He's already ruined the game.
Why am I gonna put everything...
You can't even have Michigan's announcers? Come on.
This is Michigan State's announcers just sitting there going, why? Why?
So, Deerdorf and Brandstetter, they're going to be busy because they're joining our podcast, of course, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Our valued colleagues, Dan Deerdorf and Jim Brandstetter.
Part of the family. So, yeah, Iowa, Michigan State, because they can't all be bangers.
They can't even mostly be bangers. Jeez. God, I hate you. All right, so...
I
okay.
What Ryan thinks out loud.
So then I'm gonna use my first pick on Michigan LSU. This is not a game that was on the schedule, because this is a game that has never been on the schedule. Michigan and LSU have never played each other, at least according to Winsipedia. And I want this game obviously to happen in Baton Rouge, and so that's my first pick, is Michigan traveling down south to play reigning national champion LSU Tigers, and led by Coach Ed Orshar.
Hey, you know they used to be a war college?
Okay, so that's round one. Holly, you now get to pick. You control the family of networks, so you can tell us where you are putting these three games into your 1 week of programming. Where, what time they're going, what day they're going, what channel they're going.
All right, the Celebration Bowl obviously needs to form the centerpiece of any weekend action. There's something about the Celebration Bowl that feels the same as like a Georgia State game, and I'm hesitant to say it because I don't want either of these programs to feel like I'm talking down about them, and I'm not. These games, when you go to them, and I'm including Kennesaw State here too, go Owls, they feel like high school games, but I mean that in like the best possible sense of the word. Please do not at me. What I mean is, when you show up at these games, you know, they're not the primetime contest. They've never been the primetime contest, but they are games which have rivalries that stretch back decades, which have families that have been tailgating with families from the other side for decades. And it feels like a high school game in the sense that everybody knows everybody. And I love that. I love it so much. It's like going, you know, there are like tailgating at any of these games. And I highly recommend that you go to all of them at some point in your life. Feels like going to hang out in somebody's yard, right? Every game feels like a graduation party or somebody's 50th birthday party or your grandparents' 70th wedding anniversary. You know, like everybody knows everybody. It's a super fierce rivalry. The game is great. And all that is to say, I want to put this game on a Friday, but I don't want that to feel like it's a hit against it. It's because I feel like that is where it semantically belongs. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Like, I really, really, really want to underline multiple times that I feel this game belongs on a Friday, not due to the quality of the football, but due to the atmosphere, and that's a compliment.
If we are only having 1 weekend of imaginary college football, there is no shame in being the Friday night game.
Well, there's also a problem in going first, which is that I have to save room for what's coming next because I don't know.
Right.
This is the Olympic problem, right?
So you want that Friday night on your main network, I'm assuming?
I want a Friday night ESPN, like, 8 o'clock kick.
Okay.
So we could go even bigger here, because this has traditionally been an ABC game.
Mm-hmm.
So you could throw it on ABC on Friday night.
Does ABC do Friday nights?
I mean, you're in charge.
This is me. No, yeah, you're right. True. I am in charge. Yeah. Yes. Bang, bang. ABC. Okay. Let's do it a little bit later. Not the 7 o'clock kick. Let's give everybody time to get off work and fight through the hellscape of traffic that will surely be going, because this game is real and is going to exist. And 8 p.m. kick. Everybody has plenty of time to visit before the game. Nobody has to stay up until 5 in the morning blogging about the game. Yeah, that's one. Lock it
okay.
in.
Okay. Iowa, Michigan State. This one's, come on, you know where to put this.
There are so many noons.
I would like to introduce the concept of Big Noon Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like this.
Sure.
Yeah.
At this time, I would like for both of these teams to play at noon on True TV.
Okay, done.
Because
God, that feels
True
right.
TV deserves to be hunted for at some point other than March Madness, and we already had March Madness canceled. This
I week. Like this because
big,
now this is
big true noon.
This is exceedingly.
Oh my God, it's Tuesday.
This is exceedingly practical jokers.
Every day should be Tuesday, and thank God it's not.
Michigan LSU.
I'm of two minds here.
Okay.
I know that what I am being steered towards and what I should probably say is a night kickoff in Baton Rouge, because LSU fans and Michigan fans will go out of their respective gourds in very different ways. However, wouldn't it be so much funnier? Okay, I'm going to throw this back to the room. What is funnier? Michigan fans exposed to an LSU nighttime game, or Michigan fans exposed to the broiling surface of the sun that is Death Valley at noon?
I'm going to go Michigan exposed to a nighttime game, because
I don't know, because like LSU can handle a noon game and so could Michigan, but can they handle Louisiana itself?
But here's the thing, what your weather and like the science of temperature and heat is a thing Michigan men and women can understand. They can like research.
They can do math on it.
Werewolf tailgate, you can't do any math on.
I mean, they've been to Wisconsin.
All right, I'll counterpoint again. This is the defending national champs,
mm-hmm.
and you want me to give them a primetime Saturday kick playing, what did Michigan finish in their division last year?
Not second or first.
You want a team that's never finished better than third under this coach in their division to play the defending national champs, and you want it in primetime?
Okay,
yes.
here's what I think the question you have to
Can
answer.
Can someone
is,
who's
Holly.
Not a sadist answer the question? Okay,
Holly, what do you think would be more enjoyable to you, watching LSU destroy Michigan over the course of four quarters in the afternoon, or watching them do it at night with all the buildup that goes into the night game?
This is a real weird week to ask me that, because mm-hmm. Michigan inevitably
sure.
blows away the competition in the Charity Bowl every year. And this is the one week of the year in which I am most loath to speak ill of them. So I'm going to go with the game that I would rather watch, which is always going to be LSU at night.
Okay.
So what do we think, guys? 7:30?
That feels right.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to ask something very important. Is this happening in September?
It can happen whenever you want it to.
Yeah.
Like, is it still, is this going to occur during a time of year when it can still be broiling and a little bit light outside if we do a primetime kick?
Holly, it can be
sure.
any weather and mm-hmm. situation you want it to. You have all the power.
You can say it is snowing.
Don't ask me to create a Louisiana snow game, because I will.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can say it's snowing in Mississippi and scalding hot in Louisiana.
For the record,
LSU and Michigan in the Independence Bowl.
The coldest Super Bowl was played at Tulane.
Really?
I'm not making that up.
It was colder than the Ice Bowl.
Was the Tulane snow game? Like, what am I thinking of?
Was there a Tulane snow game?
There was a very famous Tulane snow thing.
Really?
It's great audio. I'll look it up.
Okay.
Okay. I do not recall.
Oh, yeah, there is one. January 1st, 1964. Yeah, the 1964 Sugar Bowl at Tulane Stadium.
They had to get
snow machines out.
It was like the most snow in New Orleans history.
But
or at least
snow
like
snow machines. They need reverse snow machines.
Damn.
Yes,
so I went to Baton Rouge, Janine.
New Orleans received 3.5 inches of snow the day
oh
before.
Oh, my God.
And in the 1964 Sugar Bowl, Alabama beat Ole Miss 12-7.
Yeah, that was the other fun thing. Yeah. They had not. So the very cool detail here is they hadn't played for like 20 fucking years.
Mm-hmm.
And then they met in the goddamn snow, despite being in the same conference.
The line on this game, Ole Miss by 7.5. Whoops.
Oh, no. No, never do that.
The temperature at kickoff was 40 degrees.
Oh, God, 40 degrees. I wish we had dew point. I really need to know the humidity, but I can guess.
All of it.
Yeah.
Humidity,
all of it.
Yes.
You had snow swamp. That's how you make a black metal album.
Yeah.
Ole Miss, I'm sorry. Ole Miss had 9 turnovers in this game.
Yeah, you know why? They were like, "What is happening?"
It's like if you take, it's like Edward Scissorhands trying to play football for the first time.
They threw 3 picks and lost 6 fumbles. Oh my God.
Why are you even throwing? Okay, what after the second pick, why are you still throwing?
I don't
All right. We believe.
Boys were favored by seven.
Well, I mean, what are you going to run the ball? Because that wasn't going too well either.
Yeah. All right. So what are we doing? We said Saturday night?
Yeah, I'd like a Saturday. Man, can we put this game on one of those like Sunday special Labor
Day
weekends?
I got another proposal.
Okay. Yeah.
Michigan on CBS.
I like that idea.
Okay,
just so like we got Michigan coming back from break to like, well, she's got her booty in her shorts and her, and then there's fucking Gary Danielson has drawn up a chart on why Michigan should be kicked down to Division III, and like it would be awesome. Michigan's playing for like Michigan's playing for 7 hours. It would be awesome.
And they preempt an NFC game for it so that we do not have to watch the Falcons.
I'm sorry. Suck that tiger. What?
This is everything I want out of this game, because I just want that exposure so that 3 days later, a Michigan fan wakes up in Lafayette and is like, how did that happen?
All right. So
wait,
Holly,
do they wake up married?
Kinda
like
married to Lafayette.
No, I was gonna say like married to, I don't know, a camel, like some exotic animal that they found along.
Married
the way.
To a sarcophagus full of red liquid.
Membrasse, Monsieur Camel.
All right, Holly, you gotta pick where your Michigan LSU is going.
Oh no, yeah, this is a Sunday CBS game. I'm gonna
Sunday.
I'm going to do this for a reason, so I can finesse the kickoff a little bit earlier, because I think snow games in the daytime are better visually than snow games at night, but I want the game to finish in complete howling darkness. So like a 6 p.m. kick on a snow day.
Okay.
Where like, you know, steely gray for like the first quarter and then just plunged into black.
Okay. All right, let's reverse order for round two, so I'm going to go next. I'm going to use
pretty
my...
clever, Ryan.
Yeah, that's a neat trick you got there.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's a law degree working.
Okay, I'm going to use...
I've been outfoxed.
Counselor.
Now, hold on. Now, I assume if a team has been taken, we can't use them for something else.
Why not?
So, like,
I mean, I don't know. Sewanee played like 8 games in 8 days.
Okay.
Get to work, Michigan.
All right, then my answer
Look,
is...
By this point next week, Nebraska might be playing a doubleheader.
That's fair.
Yeah.
All right, give me El Asico. I want El Asico, yeah. Iowa State.
What is wrong with all of you?
No. Like,
wait, no,
at least
you cussed Spencer for picking Michigan State, Iowa.
So,
like,
because there's
so,
nothing, there's not even some ironic fun about Iowa, Michigan State. At least El Asico has a little bit of history. It's a little bit of us.
So through, what, 4 picks, do we? 25% of our teams have been from Iowa. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
It's a lot of them.
Something
it's,
like that.
Yeah. It depends on who, yeah. Yeah.
I'm from the South. I can't be counted on too.
We have 2 Michigan teams and 3 Iowa teams. So. Oh,
magic.
This is bad. This is bad. It's real bad.
Don't ever say this is an SEC favoring podcast. Don't ever say that. Yeah, El Asico is my
nobody
pick.
Who's heard the way we actually talk about the teams that we
That's
talk
fair.
About would use the term favoring.
That's fair. Spencer, what's your next?
You know what? These two teams don't get to play a lot. They despise each other deeply. And it involves 2 teams, one of which I think is a core ingredient to the full cast formula, and another that really isn't too many degrees removed from being a core
Don't you
element.
Dare say Tennessee, don't you?
No,
dare.
I think he's gonna say Pitt, Arizona State.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No, I'm going Pitt WVU.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It sounded like you were setting up rival talk.
Don't you?
Yeah,
play with
yeah.
My heart.
Like, yeah, I want this on the schedule. I want all of the eat pit shit.
Jesus.
That feels like that is Pitt's counter, right?
Yeah,
that... like when the ears say eat shit, Pitt says gladly.
They just hold up a sandwich that's got like 5 other sandwiches inside of it. Eat Pitt shit.
Yeah, here.
I barely even notice it in here.
It's a turd sandwich.
The capicola really masks the flavor.
Yeah.
You get all the vitamins, but none of the pain.
What vitamins are in French fries? Just go.
We'll get Alex on next week to explain the dietary benefits of eating like a Pitt fan.
Yeah, vitamin S for strength.
Your heart's a muscle and you gotta work it.
Your heart's getting lazy.
All right. Backyard Brawl with Spencer. Jason, what's your next
one? So far, this is all grim. This is horrific, depressing. Good God, this is... All right, I'm going to, again, be the ray of sunshine here. We're going Navy at Hawaii. This is what we want football to be.
Yeah.
The complete opposite styles.
Sure.
Two teams everybody likes, unless you're an Army fan or a Hawaii's rivals, UNLV. Sure. Please also recall Hawaii's coach right now is Todd Graham. I forgot that until today.
What time is it now?
That's true. That's true. At listener, at the time you hear this, it might be Pitt again.
Wow. Right.
That's round two.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great pick.
All right. I don't remember the first game that Ryan said, so we don't need it.
El Asico. El Asico.
All right. I'm going to do that one last. Let's see if I can do this without explaining my own psychosis. What a novel experience for anyone listening to this show. I'm going to put the Backyard Brawl behind the Celebration Bowl. I would like it on Friday night at 10 p.m. at ESPN2.
Wow.
Hopefully. Ooh. No.
No, I like this strategy.
It could be one of those Friday night barn burners, but everyone will still be watching the if we time this right, the Celebration Bowl will be hitting halftime and thus the apex of its viewership right around kickoff time, and I can watch the game alone with my dad in silence with our arms crossed as God intended.
I also like this time choice because, like, I can see tuning into it halfway through the first quarter and it'd be like, and the stands have been evacuated as the vengeful ghost of Tyler Palco marauds through.
I feel like this is very like, oh, that was fun. We watched the Celebration Bowl. Time to flip over and, oh my God, what happened here?
We're going to Sonic.
It's a river of slime.
Here come the druids in their blood red robes. Here come the hard drugs.
You gotta say it. And here come the druids.
We love the druids.
I want to be able to watch this game if I choose. I don't want interference from another network, or I don't want a regional blackout or anything. Sure. But I also want plausible deniability. In case something goes wrong, this is how I would normally treat Tennessee football, and I'm not usually this nervous about West Virginia football, but one other part of Charity Bowl week is I am reminded frequently how this series ended. I want to be able to plausibly claim that I did not see this game the next day.
Sure.
Win or lose.
Okay. Navy at Hawaii.
Okay, I need some time zone math here because I really want Navy to be able to play on as fair a basis as possible. And I would also like the opportunity for this not to be at some weird hour because there are a ton of Navy families in the area and also in places like San Diego. And if we're going to make this a big old festival, I would like for those folks to be able to have time to get over there. So let's do some time zone math. What is the difference in time zones between Annapolis and Honolulu?
A lot.
Ryan.
I think it's 6 hours, or I think it's 5 hours.
Nope, we're going to find out.
So it's got to be more than five.
If only we had the repository of human knowledge available at our collective fingertips.
That's
going to be the useful one.
That's lazy.
Yeah, all right.
It's 6 hours.
Just triangulate it with your mind.
It's 6 hours.
So let's see. 6 hours. So we want a Saturday game. We want a Saturday game that's on the late side, but we don't want an insultingly late Saturday game. I would like to put this on Fox because I would like for there to be no excuse for everyone not to tune in to some pirated stream of Robert Kakala on Periscope. So let's put this on Let's put this on a Fox kick at minus 6 hours. Okay, body clock, guys. You guys have the body clock theme. You guys had the body clock theme song. How much of a buffer does Navy need here?
Oh, Navy's ready to go.
Yeah, they're ready to go, yeah.
Navy wakes up ready. What if we go, let me just throw out a number.
I don't want to put them at like 3.
I think.
Well, what if we just throw out 9, like 9 p.m.?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
All right, so 9 Saturday on Fox. We don't have announcement teams announced, so it's not even clear who I'm insulting. But 9 on whatever Fox Sports channel will push the most people over to Robert Kakala.
Okay.
Guy on Periscope with your foot sticking out. Your only hope.
And then I.
What about El Asico?
Iowa State.
God damn it, Jason!
Listen.
Yep, it's still there. It hasn't gone anywhere.
It's not an easy job. Okay.
The rare goddamn it, Jason. Wow.
It's still lingering right outside the window. Remember,
you've already got Iowa playing at noon on Tuesday.
True TV. 2005 meme with the alien outside the window, and it's like if you're cold, they're cold. Let them inside.
That's El Asico.
Oh, let the white one in.
Wow.
I'm salty because at the moment, as of press time, Iowa State has not registered a single solitary charity bowl donation.
So give them a bad slot. Punish them.
Also, I don't want to punish them too harshly because there have also been Iowa fans who found out about this and have been donating sarcastically in Iowa State's name. So as of tonight, Iowa State does have some donations, but they're all from Iowa State.
Damn.
Fans.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
That is. Yeah. Bad.
Like, they bless your hearted them.
Oof. Wow.
Ooh. Okay. God. What channel are we putting this on? This feels like a channel swerve game. I don't know what TV channels are anymore because I don't have cable.
Could we put this on like Aerial America, like, you know, where they give you like drone shots of farms?
Yeah. I like that. Like on also, that way we wouldn't have to have. Okay. No, you're onto something. We do this via webcam, like that bear catching salmon. And that way we don't have to have a broadcasting team at all, which means in theory, nobody has to watch this game.
We can't even get like David Attenborough or somebody to call it.
It's on Quibi. Sorry. It's on Quibi. Okay.
So it's like two punts per episode.
Okay,
it's on
so
Quibi.
What?
It'll be over. Which also means that if you have someone in your life that for some reason wants to watch this game, Ryan, that you can trick them when Quibi ends the episode after 10 minutes. Be like, oh no, it's over.
I also like this you've also decided when this will be airing, and that's on tape delay. Because
I really love that
they don't have live programming.
God damn, we are listing a lot of things that may not still be in existence by the time we release this episode.
That's true.
Can you imagine how many Quibi jokes we would have made over the previous 3 months during the episodes we recorded that got deleted?
It is one of my great regrets.
Round 3. I have the first pick, Ryan. I have stolen back the first pick from you.
Yeah.
Due to my Nebraska. Hey, buddy. You want to play football really, really bad. That's awesome. So we're gonna make it convenient for you. We got somebody nearby who likes to play football. It's way closer than Rutgers. That's where they were gonna send you. It's way closer than like Austin. They used to send you to Austin. That sucked. We're gonna be within your 500-mile radius, right? That's where you love to roam. There's nice weather. At this facility, there's no wind, no rain. That's right. You're going
to
the motherfucking wood chipper. You are going to play North Dakota State.
Oh, man.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jason.
Oh, I love this.
Y'all have fun playing football.
And we are playing this at a time of year where if there's snow in Louisiana, what is it going to look like there? We're playing at North Dakota State.
It's raining Yetis. It's raining Yetis.
So we are in the Fargo Dome. But if we want to say some act of God has torn the roof off just to make this more unpleasant for Nebraska, by all means.
Yeah, what if it's like,
All right, you marinate on that. Spencer, your next pick.
I'm not apologizing for my kinks.
God damn it.
Oh.
Are you playing Animal Crossing?
No.
So who's Iowa playing this time?
Iowa scrimmage.
No.
Iowa versus
no.
Iowa.
And when I say it, you're going to go, okay, okay, okay. I can
so
see this.
Much.
Yep.
Hmm.
South Carolina, Georgia.
No!
Wow. What the fuck is wrong with you? No one likes that game. No. Absolutely no one likes that game.
Well, congratulations.
No, no, no.
Spencer, we now have a Thursday night game.
Okay.
Now we have a Thursday night ACC game.
9,000 degrees, 42 turnovers.
The worst game every single year.
There's one argument to be made in favor of Spencer's selection here, and that's imagine going to a Georgia fan and saying, hey, you have a one-game season.
Yes.
And if you
you see it. You see the grandeur.
And if you win this game, you will have a claim to a national championship.
Oh, we got this.
South Carolina.
We got this. Y'all, tell me who it is.
And it's the first game of the season, so half of their players will be suspended for drunken golf
carding. Yeah, yeah. So Georgia fan is like, who we got? Oh. We got Bama? Who we got Bama? Yeah, let's go, bro. We'll take them. Oh, shit. We got South Carolina.
Yeah. South Carolina and their fourth string quarterback. And Will Muschamp's the head coach. And it's raining locusts.
Is Will Muschamp the head coach there?
It's probably Todd Graham by now.
You know, y'all say this is bad. Every time I've watched this game, I've had a ball.
Okay, stop. Pause. Spencer, you were right.
Wow.
So this game is fucking awful in the context of a season, but now I see the vision.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, I did a similar thing, but I think it's more fun. I am inventing. I am inventing a Boise State Texas game.
Okay.
Okay.
See? I think this is one that this is also like Michigan LSU. I don't believe this matchup has ever happened.
Can this be a neutral site? Because I think we've got, I don't want to block North Dakota State's shine on this same weekend, but also games in Austin suck.
Okay, how about, I'll meet you halfway. We have to put it in a confusing neutral site. Let's put
it. Like, what if they play at Arrowhead or something?
Let's play it at Yankee Stadium.
Can we paint Yankee Stadium's
turf blue?
What about we go reasonably halfway and make it Wrigley Field?
Yep, sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Isn't that the one that, wait, which one is the one where, like, they had players running into walls at dangerous speed?
That was Wrigley.
Yes.
That was Wrigley. Yeah.
Okay, I don't actually want that for anyone. Yankee Stadium it is. America's teams in America's Stadium.
Marlins Park.
Arrowhead's a good suggestion, too, because you just have all of these, like, butt-wad Chiefs fans and Zubaz going, like... I got free tickets from the B-dubs, and I don't know. This is all weird.
You have got to be the only, like, non-Raiders fan who doesn't like Chiefs fans.
I love Chiefs. Okay, I got to tell a story about Ray Ray, who's my favorite work husband, who is a diehard Chiefs fan, who, he won't mind me saying this. He never listens. Ray Ray didn't have a license for a while due to multiple DUIs and used to make me drive him to Sephora before dates so that he could put on cologne.
Yeah.
I love Chiefs fans.
Go Chiefs.
Okay.
They drafted Tyler Bray. What's not to like?
They also drafted Aaron Murray.
Mm. So did the Atlanta Legends, though.
That's fair. All right, Holly, where are you putting Nebraska at North Dakota State?
Now I'm thinking about the time I was on crutches and next to a pregnant woman on a train, and Aaron Murray wouldn't give up his seat for either of us.
Wow.
Mm, really happened. Anyway, I'm sorry. I got distracted with thoughts of my eventually calculated revenge. What?
Nebraska at NDSU.
Make sure everybody sees this.
Yeah. No. This is, folks... I think we have our Saturday showcase game, and I don't want it to happen in the dark. I want everyone to see this. 3:30.
Ooh, okay.
ESPN?
Yeah. No, okay. 3:30 is a CBS slot, isn't it?
It doesn't have to be. You can do whatever you want.
You put the CBS game on Sunday, so you're good here.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do a nice little 3:30. Let's do a 3:30 ABC game.
Okay. Great.
So, you know, nice high production values, but also you play, oh god damn it, it's inside.
But we're going to get like slow-mo footage of Nebraska being gutted here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I you're right. I want this at 3:30 so that you can reasonably put your infants and younger children to bed at halftime because they don't need to see this.
All right.
So 3:30 Saturday, this is the centerpiece of the afternoon.
South Carolina, Georgia, you said you wanted your
Thursday.
That's your Thursday
night at 6 p.m.
Can we get Ron Franklin out of retirement for this? Like
Thursday
old,
night,
bitter Ron Franklin.
We can get Ron Cherry out of retirement for this. For all
can
I care.
Can I talk you into Thursday 6 p.m. on Jefferson Pilot?
Yeah,
yeah, man, let's do it
on Jefferson Pilot. And thanks to climate change, although it is snowing in Louisiana, forecast for this weekend, it is 88 degrees and 90% humidity with a heat index of 103 on the field at kickoff.
Beautiful.
Oh yeah,
Boise State, Texas.
I'm concerned with the noises several of you are making.
I'm experiencing so many unmentionable feelings the more you detail this horrendous, awful weather that South Carolina fans endure.
With your noises.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really hoping that the return of the show would involve fewer mouth noises.
That was really your fault.
You are absolutely right. Hey, second time. Ryan, you were right.
Boise State, Texas.
At Yankee Stadium.
Monday night, Labor Day style.
Okay.
Does this? What is the Yankees network? Is it NBC or?
It's
where Notre Dame is. So I assume that's where the Yankees are as well.
Yes, it's okay. YES.
No, so, but I want this on pay per view.
Damn, wow. The LHN network is screwed here.
LHN would be the pick here, but pay-per-view is a good one.
No, Boise State doesn't deserve the LHN.
Yeah, right. I don't want to make Boise State fans.
They're not Kansas.
Okay. All right, should we do one more
but
quick?
But I don't want to make them hunt for it on the Longhorn Network either. Jeez.
Pay-per-view can be stolen?
Well, do we want to do... Let's do NBC Sports.
Okay.
Do we want to do one more round or call
it? Let's do a quick bonus round. Everybody do one more. You cannot explain the game. You just have to say what it is. I will go first.
Damn.
No, you got to quit that shit.
No, that's it. We're just going in snake
order. Keep an eye on this son of
a
bitch.
Yeah, there is a snake in this order.
Objection. All right. Your Honor.
Here's how it goes. It's going to go me.
May I approach the band?
Me, Spencer, Jason. And we're just going to shout them out, and then Holly's going to place them, okay? Washington State, USC.
Ooh.
Oh, fuck. Do I have to place it now or do it?
Sure, go ahead, place it now.
11 p.m. Friday.
Okay.
On 11 p.m. Friday, Fox Sports 1.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
actually
realistic.
Yeah.
Yep.
Spencer.
Ole Miss, Memphis.
Yeah.
Man, I feel like I'm stacking all the good games on Friday now.
Let's load it up.
Ole Miss Memphis is going to be the... Okay, let's give Ole Miss Memphis a Thursday night game in primetime. Ole Miss Memphis at 8 p.m. Thursday night, ESPN regular.
So Georgia, South Carolina is the setup
is the
for Ole Miss
yes.
Memphis.
Georgia, South Carolina is the opening
folks,
act as God intended.
Folks, you're going to want to stick around for this one,
yeah.
For the main event.
Folks, the devil is real.
The devil is real, and he is alive in this slate.
All right.
Speaking of, with my final selection, Liberty at...
I'm sorry, what?
Liberty.
I thought we were picking football teams.
At Arizona State. Hail Satan.
Yep.
They got any athletes left? again, what time is it? Oh, God. You guys are giving me the... You know what? Y'all have a type. This is the most Friday night 10 p.m. ass schedule.
Yeah. Yeah,
mm-hmm. it really is.
And yet, Saturday night must happen. Liberty at Arizona State.
You have a Saturday night game. You're okay for now.
No.
Okay. We don't have a Wednesday game.
No, sure. we don't have a Wednesday game.
And, no. Here we go. I got it.
You asked the question, and you were the answer. 10 p.m. Wednesday.
Put it at 7:30, and then you fuck up Wednesday night Bible study for Liberty.
Oh, you maniac. Now, what if we do a... What would be the ideal time? We have to adjust for time zones because there are parts of Arizona that do and do not observe daylight savings time, and I can't remember which is which.
Yeah.
Shit.
Doesn't matter. Make it whatever you want.
It's okay. All right, we want this game to start at, what do you think, Jason, 7?
Yeah, that sounds horrible. Let's do it.
Maximal interference?
Wednesday,
oh, yeah. Oh,
7.
That's going to barrel right over it, yeah.
I kind of want it all to happen in darkness, though.
Wednesday, 7 p.m. MSNBC?
Although that is sending Liberty to Arizona at 4 p.m. at night.
Ryan suggested making Liberty watch MSNBC. I love it.
I think it would be funnier if we put it on the Spike channel, if that still exists.
I don't know that it does, but it
like,
can.
What's something where, like, Fatal Attraction or, like, To Sleep with the Enemy might
Oh, we're going to put it on Cinemax?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Jerry Falwell watches Cinemax.
Yeah. He's got a Cinemax complexion.
All right, let's end the show there.
That's an episode. Great work,
that
everyone.
That sure is an episode.
All right.
No two ways around it.